The Wisconsin Supreme Court heard arguments yesterday in a lawsuit challenging the ways that absentee ballots and drop boxes can be used in the state's elections. The court previously issued a temporary ruling in January allowing drop boxes to be used in the February primary, but a second temporary ruling restricted their use in the general election last week. The justices plan to make a final ruling to be in place for the August primary and November midterm elections. We're recapping the arguments the justices heard yesterday, learning more about what's at stake, and you could join in at 800-642-1234. Did you follow those arguments in court? What do you think they should and shouldn't allow? Are you in favor of ballot drop boxes? If so, how should they be used? Where? How should they be monitored? How about the ways that absentee ballots get returned? Should it be okay for your spouse, say, or significant other to walk your ballot over to the mailbox for you? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Robert Yablon is an associate professor at the University of Wisconsin-Madison Law School. Rob, welcome back to Central Time.
Good to be with you.
Well, walk us through the process. What took these issues back to the Wisconsin Supreme Court?
Well, this litigation began in a trial court in Waukesha County. There were two voters who challenged practices that had been in place in 2020. There were a couple of memos that the Wisconsin Election Commission issued that advised municipal clerks that they could choose to make drop boxes available for the receipt of absentee votes, and also indicated that it was okay for voters to have family members or other individuals turn in absentee ballots for them. And the voters challenged that guidance. The Waukesha court ruled in favor of those voters, and then the case headed up to the Wisconsin Supreme Court.
Let's stay with drop boxes for a minute. What do we know about what state law does and doesn't say about how and whether drop boxes can be used for elections?
So state law does not mention drop boxes by name. That term isn't used in state law. Instead, what state law says is that absentee ballots can be delivered to the municipal clerk. And the question is whether that means that the municipal clerks have some discretion to decide exactly how they want to receive those absentee ballots that are hand-delivered. Do they actually have to have an exchange where they directly take them from the voter, or can they say, you know, our preferred mechanism or one of the available mechanisms for receipt is to set up a secure box either in the clerk's office in a municipal building or possibly at another location? So the question is essentially whether they have that flexibility or not. Not under the state law.
What do we hear on arguments from both sides on this?
Well, the argument that you hear from the challengers is essentially because state law is silent on this, because it requires delivery to be in person to the clerk, they think that the statute should be read to require the physical exchange of a ballot from the voter to the clerk. And they say that the fact that there is no specific provision for drop boxes means that they shouldn't be allowed. Now, the argument that you hear from the other side is that essentially the clerk is the receiver here, and they should have some ability to decide on the receipt method. And this was something that, again, was used in 2020 with guidance from the Wisconsin Elections Commission. And at that time in 2020, there were no objections raised prior to the election. And so the challengers now say, well, everyone seemed to accept that this was okay beforehand, and it's unclear why the objections are belatedly being raised now.
Well, this got pretty granular. During the arguments yesterday, I want to give a listen to part of it. Justice Brian Hagedorn here going through some hypothetical ballot scenarios with attorney Rick Essenberg from the conservative Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty representing the challengers here. Let's take a listen.
Inside the clerk's office staff during business hours, freestanding drop box. Clerk says, all right, looks good. Go ahead and put your ballot in there. Is that okay?
I think that a drop box that we can say is staffed by the clerk. It is in the presence of the clerk.
Okay.
A clerk can see what's going on.
So that's good.
I think that would be delivered to the clerk, although again, it ultimately is for this court to decide.
So now you're in a municipal building. Where I go vote, municipal clerk's office is inside the broader municipal building. Okay? And imagine a mail slot connected to the clerk's office, but staff's not there. Can you drop a ballot in that slot that goes directly to the clerk's office? Is that okay?
No, I mean, at this point, we are now outside the presence of the clerk.
Okay.
And so the delivery would not be in person.
So, okay, so for you, essential is staff present. Is that right?
With respect to that aspect.
Okay.
So a lot of fine points, and that wasn't the only example of these details. I don't know. Is the court going to give really precise definitions of a clerk-personed Dropbox site?
You know, that's one way that the court could go. The court could try to really delineate in fine detail exactly what is and isn't allowed, because the challengers in this case have basically acknowledged that you don't literally have to have a voter put the ballot into the hand of the clerk. They've said that it would be okay, for example, for the clerk to have an inbox on their desk. And so then you start to get these questions about line drawing. And well, if that's okay, then can you have the Dropbox that is situated just outside the office, but in view of a clerk? And then if that's okay, can it be outside the door of the building? And so it is possible that you'll get the court try to articulate the brightest line that it can. The other direction that the court could go is to say, you know what, these granular decisions actually are ones that are left to the municipal clerks to make. And as long as they're acting reasonably and within the guidance that they get from the Wisconsin Elections Commission, then the court won't second guess it in that kind of detail.
Talking to Rob Yablon with the UW-Madison Law School about a Supreme Court hearing yesterday looking at ballot drop boxes and the chain of connection when absentee ballots are brought in, sent in, mailed in. You can join in with your thoughts at 800-642-1234. What should be allowed? What should not be allowed? What questions do you have? 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Okay, Rob, the other big deal yesterday was if I am, not going in to drop it off in person, I'm not voting in person, I've got an absentee ballot, I want it to be delivered to my clerk. A lot of questions about who I hand it to, who can bring it for me, what kind of things are at stake here?
Right. Well, so this is the other issue. And the position that the challengers take here is that it needs to be the voter himself or herself who either puts it into the mail or is the one who is physically delivering it to the clerk in whatever fashion is allowed. And that you can't have assistance of any form in their view, whether it's from a family member, a caregiver, or anyone else. And the argument on the other side is that the law just requires these absentee ballots to be delivered in person. It doesn't specify who that person would be. And as long as the delivery is occurring in person by someone, whether it is your spouse, whether it is your caregiver, that actually is more consistent with the spirit of absentee voting. One of the reasons that we make an absentee voting option available is because we realize that some people are going to have difficulty getting to a polling place or to a clerk's office. And so if they need some assistance, the defenders of this broader view say, well, they should be able to have that assistance.
And this covers a lot of ground. Anything from, hey, honey, can you drop our ballots off in the mailbox, to, hey, we've got this organized effort to rally voters and we're going to collect up all their votes and drop them off. Sometimes that's called ballot harvesting. What did we hear along that spectrum of okay versus not okay?
Yeah, well, so, you've got that spectrum exactly right. And the justices who seem more sympathetic to the idea that assistance should be allowed focused on the most sympathetic examples, which is, shouldn't your spouse be able to put something in the mailbox for you? On the flip side, the justices that are somewhat more skeptical focused on this, ballot harvesting kind of scenario where you might have an orchestrated effort by potentially unscrupulous actors to collect ballots en masse and turn them in. Now, even that sort of effort isn't necessarily going to result in fraud if all that is really being done is that ballots that have been voted by the individual or sealed are just being turned in by someone else. But, the challengers here are raising the specter of the possibility that then undue influence is exercised. Someone comes to your door and they actually now are participating in the process of you filling out the ballot, which they shouldn't do. Maybe an unscrupulous person is taking your ballot and not turning it in as you hope that they will. Now, there are other state laws that are going to address that kind of misconduct, but the challenger's position, I think, would essentially be that saying that it has to be you yourself turning in the ballot adds another safeguard into the system.
Let's bring on a caller at 800-642-1234. Jimmy is with us in Valley Junction. Jimmy, hi.
Yeah, a couple points. It seems ridiculous to me that my town hall where I vote is a quarter mile away, and I would have to mail my ballot go through Minneapolis and back a quarter mile away to get my ballot, my absentee ballot registered. And my question is, doesn't the statute give the WEAC or agency that regulates elections some leeway on regulatory, formulation?
Jimmy, thanks. The WEC, I think he means the Wisconsin Elections Commission. How much, that's a huge part of the story, Rob. How much leeway do they have?
Right. And they certainly do have, their job is to implement state election law. And the question that is really at the heart of this case is, when there is an arguable lack of clarity in that state election law, to what extent are they allowed to fill the gaps? And conversely, to what extent are they just simply sidelined if state law isn't clear about something?
Thanks a lot for that call. We are talking about Wisconsin Supreme Court arguments yesterday over ballot drop boxes in elections, plus how absentee ballots get from point A, the voter, to point B, the clerk. UW-Madison Law Professor Rob Yablon is with us, and you can join in at 800-642-1234. Have you run up against these issues as you cast your own ballots this last couple of years? Do you work at a clerk's office? What are your thoughts on all this? What questions, what hopes do you have in this case? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. We'll continue the conversation. Maybe hear from you coming up on Central Time. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Barrett. We pick up our talk now with Robert Yablon. He's a law professor at UW-Madison with us today to talk about state Supreme arguments over mail-in ballots and the use of drop boxes in Wisconsin elections. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Let's go back to your calls now. Stella is with us in Sturgeon Bay. Stella, hi.
Hi. I have a question. If my husband cannot ride in the car with me and drop my ballot as well as his ballot in the mailbox, my question is, what about a housebound person who lives out in the country, is nowhere near a postal drop box, and is not able to drive and is not able to go to any place in order to drop off an absentee ballot? Can they put it in their mailbox, and can their mail carrier pick it up and put it in the mail? Is that considered somebody else dropping it off?
Stella, thanks for the call. And Rob, correct me if I'm wrong, I think the answer is yes, that the postal delivery person can pick up your ballot and deliver it. Do I have that right?
That's right. The postal delivery person can pick it up, and that's okay. Might not be okay if the challengers prevail in this case is that housebound person couldn't have their caregiver walk the ballot out to the mailbox. They somehow would have to be able to do that themselves or somehow get the mail carrier to come to their door. And so there are situations in which this can create real hardships for people who have physical limitations. You know, you can imagine someone who is paralyzed, for example, and simply relies on other people to perform some of these tasks. And it is not clear how, as a matter of state law, they would be accommodated. Now, let me say that in addition to state law, there are some federal law protections here under the Voting Rights Act and the Americans with Disabilities Act. And the arguments about the scope of those laws haven't really been litigated fully in this case. So there may still be some federal law protections for such individuals.
Thanks for that call. That leads into a moment yesterday. I want to give a listen again. Attorney Rick Essenberg with the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty here being questioned by Justice Jill Karofsky about voters who have disabilities.
We have examples of individuals who have indicated that they need somebody to pick up their ballot for them, but we know that it is possible for such persons to mail a ballot. We know that it is possible for them to arrange for pickup in the United States Postal Service if they are disabled. And so if you need someone to pick up your ballot for you, there's no reason that it can't be a mail carrier.
Wait, but what I'm hearing you say is that if someone is disabled and cannot get to their mailbox, they cannot have someone else take the envelope and put it in their mailbox.
They can if it's a mail carrier, just in the same way as I can mail something. I can place something
in
the mail,
carrier doesn't
whichever term you want to use, by giving it to a postal carrier.
And this suggestion is, I guess, that the postal carrier can come into your house to your, I guess, sick bed and take the ballot out of your hands. That's a concern that came up, and groups that represent people with disabilities have raised these concerns.
That's exactly right. I'm not sure that I have a complete understanding of this. I do think that there are some situations when it may be possible for individuals to get accommodations from postal carriers so that they will come to the door rather than leaving mail at the street. But I think that there are also instances in which people are not able to get that the kind of service that they would need to literally have a handover from them directly to a postal carrier.
Let's go back to our callers now at 800-642-1234. Sharon is with us in Madison. Sharon, hi.
Hi. My example is my own mother. She was in a nursing home. She was bedridden with rheumatoid arthritis. She had voted in every election from the time I was a small child. She had all of her cognitive ability, and she wanted to vote. And in this day and age, how in the world would she have gotten her ballot to a mailbox or to a city clerk?
Sharon, thanks for that call. COVID gave an extra wrinkle of that, Rob. You know, we have special voting deputies who can go into nursing homes. COVID limited that, a whole nother controversy that we've talked about on the show in the past. What are your thoughts for Sharon?
Well, you know, again, there are absolutely going to be individuals who have serious hardships trying to cast an absentee vote if the challenger's position prevails here. We did hear some stories of people who came forward after the recent election a couple of weeks ago and said that they ended up not being able to cast a vote because the decision from the trial court was in effect for the April election. So, for some people, it's just a matter of convenience to be able to have a spouse deliver your ballot for you. But for other people, they truly are reliant on other individuals to do some of these tasks for them. And it is not clear exactly how they would be accommodated if the challenger's position prevails.
Thanks for that call, Sharon. We'll go next to Pat in Appleton. Pat, hi.
Hi, I am a poll worker, and I want to know if no one else can put your ballot in the mailboxes, are they going to put cameras on every mailbox that you have to hold up your mail and show who it's coming from?
Pat, I gotcha. Thanks for the call, Pat. Rob, I think the question of enforcement, how do you enforce a thing that says, no, you can't hand it to your, say, spouse to put into the mailbox for you? How would anybody know?
Yeah, it's a great question. And this is something that the municipal clerks were trying to figure out during the election a couple of weeks ago, because there is no enforcement mechanism provided in state law. And the defenders of the idea that you should be allowed to have other people do this say, well, you know, if state law really meant to be limited in this way, you'd think that they would have had some mechanism that they articulated for how this would be monitored. And so, there were some municipal clerks, for example, that required people to show IDs when they were turning in their absentee ballots. Now, there is an ID requirement in state law, but not at that stage of the election. And so some people thought that that was actually improper for the clerks to be doing that. This really is something that is not clearly, there's no clear enforcement mechanism as the law is written.
Thanks for that call. We'll go now to Nate on the line in Milwaukee. Nate, hi.
Hi, thank you very much for having me. I was going to say that I've dropped off both my ballot and a family member myself, and making that illegal strikes me not only as ridiculous, but I think that we should treat trying to deny people their ability to vote as not just a violation of their rights, but is also trying to cheat in the election, because arguably is trying to change the election results, just instead of by adding fake votes, removing real votes. And as for the legal aspect, you know, there's no law specifically allowing me to do jumping jacks, but I'm pretty sure it's not illegal for me to do that.
Nate, thanks for the call. He mentioned potentially violating voting rights here, Rob, and you've touched on that. There are protections for voting rights under federal law. If if somebody, say, wasn't able to vote in the April election, what remedy do they have? No matter if they go into the federal court system now, they're not going to get that vote back, are they?
That vote is probably not, they're not going to be able to vote belatedly. They might seek prospective relief. They may note that they were disenfranchised in the April election. They want to vote in future elections, and they seek an accommodation of some kind. And so we could see further litigation along those lines. The caller points out something very important as we think about fairness in elections. On one hand, a fair election is one in which people who should not vote don't vote, but on the other hand is one where everyone who wants to vote as and is entitled to do so is able to. And it really is a fairness problem when people who are eligible are excluded. And so, those who are defending the Dropbox law, who are defending the ability to turn in ballots for other people are suggesting that actually there could be some real unfairness that results if we constrain absentee voting too much.
Thanks for that call. And just our last few moments, Rob, we've got until our primary elections now later in the summer. Do you think this ruling, whenever it comes out from the Wisconsin Supreme Court, is going to be the last word on these issues? Or are we going to be here talking about this again, I don't know, come election time?
My guess is that it won't be entirely the last word, because as I mentioned, there are these federal law issues that I'm not sure that the Wisconsin Supreme Court is going to fully resolve. Now, if the Wisconsin Supreme Court ruling here is to reverse the lower court and to say that yes, drop boxes are okay, yes, assistance is okay, then it's possible that that will be the last word. But to the extent that they are imposing restrictions that may make it difficult or impossible for some people to cast votes, I imagine that we will see some follow-on litigation about that.
Rob, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today.
Good talking to you.
That's Robert Yablon, associate professor at the UW-Madison Law School. He was with us today breaking down the arguments the state Supreme Court heard yesterday over the use of ballot drop boxes and mail-in and absentee voting in Wisconsin elections. You can keep following that story and many more over at WPR.org with our state Capitol News team.